So, this is Srimad Bhagavatam from the fifth canto. This is chapter 22, Orbits of the Planets, in verse number 8. Word for word, Evam Chandrama. Evam, thus. Chandrama, the moon. Arkagabhastibhya, from the rays of the sunshine. Uparistat, above. Lakshayojanadha, by a measurement of 100,000 yojanas. Upalabhyamanaha, being situated, Arkasya, of the sun globe, Samvatsarabhutim, the passage of 1 year of enjoyment, Paksabhyam, by 2 fortnights, Masabhutim, the passage of 1 month, Sapada Rikshabhya, by 2 1/4 days, Dinena, by a day, Evam, only, Paksabhutim, the passage of 1 fortnight, Agrachari, moving impetuously, Drutataragamanaha, passing more speedily, Bhukte, passes through. Translation, purport, by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Above the rays of the sunshine, by a distance of 100,000 yojanas, which is 800,000 miles, is the moon, which travels at a speed faster than that of the sun. In 2 lunar fortnights, the moon travels through the equivalent of a satvatsara of the sun. In 2 1/4 days, it passes through a month of the sun, and in 1 day, it passes through a fortnight of the sun. Purport. When we take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas, or 800,000 miles, above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is a doubtful mystery. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one change after another, and therefore they are uncertain. We have to accept the calculations of the Vedic literatures. These Vedic calculations are steady. The astronomical calculations made long ago and recorded in the Vedic literature are even correct now. Whether the Vedic calculations or the modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others, but as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svampadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a question of authority. When the authority is not authorized, or when the authority changes its, what we say, statements, then you can say that authority is questionable. That authority is questionable. An authority has to be consistent in what it says. Some modern calculations by astronomers and scientists are changing from one time period to another. So they make some calculation, and then after some time they find something new, or realize that their calculation, no, I only can drink warm water, I can't drink cold water. That's warm water? That I can't drink cold water, only warm water. Cold water, nay, nay, no cold water. Okay. So, therefore, we can understand that one thing that is changing based on what is the basic understanding, empirical observation or sensual power, using telescopes, microscopes, and various other, when we say created instruments, using are created by the imperfect senses. So therefore, the senses are imperfect and the instruments also are also of the same nature. So how is it possible to come up with truth, or what we say, correct understanding? It's not. Therefore, we cannot accept, although propagate their ideas quite regularly, and people believe it. If enough people believe something, then it becomes a belief, right? There's a thing called the 100 monkeys. Have you heard of ever that? 100 monkeys? One monkey does something, and the other monkey watches it, and he does it. And another monkey watches the second monkey, and he does that. So the third monkey, the fourth monkey is watched by the third monkey. Pretty soon it goes down the line, and then all the monkeys are doing it, up to 100 monkeys. But the 100th monkey doesn't know why he's doing it. Because all the other monkeys are doing it. That's why. So this is how modern information is. Somebody says something, some monkey, and some other monkey says yes. And then two monkeys together, and the third monkey comes along and says, yeah, okay, since you're a bigger monkey than me, I'll accept what you say. So this goes on, and pretty soon everyone else accepts, because everybody is accepting. That's right. So therefore, what is the authority? Monkeys. So in the same way, we can see that the knowledge that has been given to us doesn't have any validity. Why? Because it's always changing, changing, changing. And there have been so many examples of constant change. And I can recite a few of them, but I don't think it's important, because probably many of you know. But these examples show that we cannot accept an authority that keeps changing. Therefore, there is a constant authority, and that constant authority is a power shot. It's not man-made. It's coming from the great sages and saints who have understood the Supreme Personality of Godhead through realization. Therefore, they have purified their hearts, and they can understand when the Lord speaks something, how to present that to the general mass of people. So the scriptures are given by the pure souls who have realized God. And therefore, the authority is pure, and the source of the authority is also pure. It's not changing. It's constant. So here, the Vedic literature says that the moon is farther away from the sun, farther away from the earth than the sun is, by at least 1,600 miles. No, 1,600 miles. I'm sorry, 1,600,000 miles. But here, this one is used that from the rays of the sun, the moon is another 800,000. So the rays of the sun extend out at 800,000 miles, and from another 800,000 miles, we get 1,600,000 miles, the distance from the Earth and from the sun to the moon, which is farther away. And here, you know, if you study this, and it's really hard, you really have to apply yourself, this whole section of the fifth canto, and it goes on, orbits of the planets, planetary systems, and the structure of the universe, which you just finished. You'll find that these calculations are very, very, what we say, constant, and very, very exact. Even through observation, we can see that the speed of the moon is faster than the speed of the sun. So all this is taken into account. And therefore, Prabhupada is very gracious. He says some people accept the modern-day calculations, and others accept the Vedas. As far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations. So everyone must accept an authority, because authority means somebody who is giving some knowledge beyond the range of our senses. And something beyond the range of the senses cannot be understood by that limited perspective. We have to accept higher authority. And so, what do we do? We, therefore, even though it sounds fantastic to us, and some of the things that that are being mentioned in the Vedic literature sound quite hard to perceive or to accept by our own, what we say, calculations or experiences. But we use a little example. Two ants, you know, two little tiny insects are talking. And one ant says to the other ant, you know, I think there's something up there. And the other one says, nah, you just had too much sugar. You're intoxicated. There's nothing up there. So, but looking down at the ants, we can see it's just ant life. So the demigods look at us in the same way. And beyond that, the different levels of the higher realms. So it's way beyond. God's creation is really, what we might say, impossible to calculate, impossible to even to imagine how great God is calculating. Just the universal structures of the material energy. What to speak beyond that? The universal structures are 1/4 of existence, 3/4 is the spiritual world. How much do we know about the spiritual world? Except from what we hear in the Shastras, that's all. So we have to accept that, we have to accept authority. Without accepting authority, we have no foothold anywhere. So that authority, that is what we say. Constant and pure. So therefore, the Vedic calculations are perfect. As Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvamaham veda vedyo vedanta krit veda vireva chaham. I am the source of the Vedas. I know the Vedas. The Vedas come from me. And I am the goal of the Vedas also. So Krishna gives authority to Vedic knowledge, saying that that knowledge is coming from him. So that's pure knowledge. When it's a matter of understanding it through the explanations of the great souls, who have understood it and are making it, presenting it for our understanding. But ultimately, the principle is authority. The principle is authority here. Okay, any questions? Yes.
I would like to know how can this knowledge contribute to my devotional service about the Vedic cosmology?
The greatness of God. How great he is.
So maybe I will learn in the future when I will be more advanced in the...
No, you can be what we say, inspired by how great God is, just by hearing about his greatness in the form of the cosmological arrangement. And it also, this knowledge helps us to understand how things are going on in this material world. How everything is controlled by the Lord through the demigods. The demigods control the universal affairs. And then through that, they have their energies, and that comes all the way down to us. Then below that, in the next plant, in the next section you'll study is subterranean heavenly planets. So this knowledge is interesting. Some people spend their whole life studying cosmology, astronomy. And if you make a display somewhere in the world, people will run to it. That's why our Vedic planetarium, which we are constructing now in Mayapur, the TOVP, will attract thousands and thousands and thousands of people, tens and thousands of people. People want to know more about the universe. And if we present it according to the Vedic calculations, people will be inspired and amazed. When we present it, the goal is Krishna, not just a nice, truthful arrangement of the higher levels, but beyond that, where it all comes from. And what is our relationship within that? Why are you here in Slovenia at this time in existence? You don't know why. You can't figure it out, but we can explain it. Somehow in the series of your sojourn in the material world, you've created so many different activities in your life which have brought certain results, and by those results you get a particular situation, and that moves you one situation after another, life after life, until you wind up in different places. So now you can go back to Godhead from this life when you understand your relationship with Krishna through devotional service and you perfect that relationship. So each soul is moving throughout the Karanung Guna Sangha Sosara Sajoni Janvishu. Souls are moving throughout the different cosmic creation according to their karma, life after life. So it all has relevance to us. That's why the whole fifth canto of the Bhagavatam practically is the cosmology of the universe. And this has been very controversial. Prabhupada was very much criticized for what he wrote, even amongst the devotees. There are devotees who don't accept this because of their conditioning towards, you know, modern scientific explanations and their own study of that. You'll find even within our society. But Prabhupada's giving us what is in the Vedas according to his level of understanding, which is pure. This is it. Okay. So I want to speak a little bit about the importance of, there was three great souls. Today's the disappearance day of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Raghunath Bhat Goswami. I think it's disappearance of all three. Yeah? It is? Okay. So I'll speak a little bit about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It's always nice on these days to honor these great souls who appear and disappear, who have a very direct effect on the knowledge we receive and the process of bhakti, especially Krishna Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It is not so much known. His bhajan kutir is in Radhakund. If you ever go to Radhakund, you can see it's a beautiful bhajan kutir. And he spent a later part of his life, but he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita in that bhajan kutir. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai. Why did Srila Prabhupada choose Chaitanya Charitamrita to give us Lord Chaitanya's leelas? He could have chose Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur. He could have chose the father of Chaitanya Lila, which was Vrindavan Das Thakur Chaitanya Bhagavat, which preceded Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. But Prabhupada chose Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's work because it has a lot of philosophical, references to Bhagavatam and to other scriptures to support the knowledge of the life of Lord Chaitanya. The notes of Sarup Damodar Goswami and the notes of Raghunath Das Goswami were the basis of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those two had very intimate association with, especially Sarup Damodar Goswami, with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also Murari Gupta. And those notes were preserved. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, there was a concern to keep, to preserve what he gave us in terms of his pastimes and his teachings. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was 95 years old at the time. He was old. He could hardly see. But the devotees came and said, "My dear Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, we want you to write the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Chaitanya Bhagavat had already been produced, but there was a need to extend Chaitanya Bhagavatam into more and more details. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami responded, "I am old. I cannot even see. And if when I try to write, my hands shake." But still, he was encouraged to write. And so he went before the deity of Madan Mohan, was it? It was Madan Mohan. And he prayed to Madan Mohan, "Please, if you empower me, then I can try to write something." During that prayer, the garland from Madan Mohan fell off onto the floor in front of Madan Mohan, which was an indication by the Lord, "You have my blessings. You have my blessings." And therefore, he took that, and all the devotees were there. When they saw that, they all cheered. Madan Mohan has given his blessings. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita was then written. But you find throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami refers to Vrindavan Das Thakur Chaitanya Bhagavat many times, saying that he is the father. And many he says, "He has written about this pastime, therefore I will only mention it." He doesn't want to supersede the previous acharyas, but still he wants to add what was not included by Chaitanya, by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And so Prabhupada adopted Chaitanya Charitamrita for our ISKCON society. And you find at the end of every chapter, he says, "Offering my respectful obeisances to Rupa and Raghunath, his two spiritual masters, Rupa Goswami and I, Krishna Das Kaviraj, write Chaitanya Charitamrita." So this is the greatness of Krishna Das Kaviraj. He has written also other books. He's written about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, which is called Astakala Leela. How occurred the different times of the day in the spiritual world, Krishna is performing various types of activities. So that's also was penned by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So this is a great personality today, his disappearance day. What else do we have? We don't have a lot about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, except that he had his bhajan kutir Radha Kund, and he finished his life and left his body on the banks of Radha Kund. And it says that one who leaves the world in devotion at the banks of Radha Kund goes back to the spiritual world automatically. in such a holy place. It's the holiest of all places. It's Radharani's bathing place. And as Nectar of Instructions explains, that of all the places, all the spiritual places in existence, the highest is Radhakund. One cannot surreptitiously or whimsically just go there and expect to get, you know, the opportunity to go back home, back to God. And one has to purify their heart. But one can do that. Therefore, our mood is not to do bhajan, nirjan bhajan, but our mood is to preach. We visit the holy places. We get the dust of these holy places. We take the water on our heads of Radharani's bathing place. When we go visit there, it becomes a wonderful experience to bathe in Radhakund and pray to Radharani for her mercy. But our mission is to somehow or other stay in the world and give Radharani's mercy in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the life of Lord Chaitanya, to the conditioned souls. And then we have Raghunath Bhat Goswami. Raghunath Bhat Goswami was the son of Kashi Mishra. And when Lord Chaitanya used to visit Varanasi, Kashi Mishra used, he'd stay at the house of Kashi Mishra. And then Raghunath Bhat Goswami was just, he was Raghunath, and he was just a little boy at the time. And through his association with Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, he became purified. There's one beautiful story. Raghunath Bhat Goswami is known for his absorption in Srimad Bhagavatam. He would constantly, it was his bhajan, he constantly read Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly. He was absorbed in Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told him, you read Bhagavatam. And he would recite Bhagavatam loudly, and he would chant the verses in three different melodies. Each verse he would chant in three different melodies. And he would just speak about Bhagavatam, recite Bhagavatam. He was absorbed in Bhagavatam. One day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, after he had been gone for a long time and he was in Jagannath Puri, Raghunath Bhat Goswami wanted to go see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So he decided to travel from Varanasi. Varanasi is also Kashi. Kashi is also known as, what's the other name? There's one more name for Kashi, Varanasi, and Banaras, right? It's the place where Lord Shiva is known, for that place mostly. A lot of Shivites there. It's also famous for burning ghats. You go there, you can. They regularly burn the bodies of personalities there and throw the bodies, the ashes, in the. I think it's the Ganga. Yeah. So, he decided to travel from Varanasi to Jagannath Puri. While he was traveling, he got only a little way and stopped and met one personality who became very attracted to him and said, I would like to travel with you. You are a great soul. I will carry your bags. I will cook for you. I will do everything. Please give me your association. Please allow me to serve you. And this person was named was Ram Vishwasa. Now he would chant constantly the name of Ram. Constantly. Now Raghunath Bhat Goswami really didn't want an associate or someone to serve him because this is the nature of a great soul. They don't look for servants or assistants. But if someone is, what we say, really enthusiastic, they may accept some service just to give that person some mercy. So Ram Vishwas really wanted to associate and serve Raghunath Bhat Goswami. And Raghunath Bhat Goswami said, he looks like a very wonderful person because he's always chanting the name of Ram. So they traveled together. He carried his bags and he cooked for him. He did all the little menial service necessary for the travel. After at least a month of traveling, they arrived in Jagannath Puri. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard Raghunath is coming. So he greeted Raghunath. So the Lord was there upon his arrival. And when Raghunath Bas and Ram Vishvasu came, they both paid their obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they got up, Lord Chaitanya embraced Raghunath Bhat Goswami and started to speak to him like he had five mouths, glorifying him for his devotion and for his attachment to reading and glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. But he didn't even look at Ram Vishvasu. Not even a slight glance. Have you ever been in that situation where you meet somebody and you're with another person and they don't even look at you? It's like you don't exist. Have you ever had that experience? I have. You think, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with me? Something. You start to wonder. So Ram Vishvasa was thinking, the Lord's not even looking at me. And it just went on. And finally, Lord Chaitanya turned to him and said, give up this idea of trying to become Ram. Serve Ram. Don't think you can become Ram. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami couldn't see that. But Lord Chaitanya saw that this Ram Vishvasu, his idea was to chant the holy name of Ram and therefore become Lord Ram. Well, in other words, he was a great Mayavadi, impersonalist. And therefore Lord Chaitanya, who knows the heart of all living entities and understands the intentions, wanted to expose his pretense. And Ram Vishvasu actually was very humble and accepted Lord Chaitanya's mercy and gave up his idea of trying to become Ram. No one can become Ram. I remember I was preaching in Chicago and I met this one spiritual tradition. And it was a very nice person, and they were talking to me. We were talking about various aspects of Krishna consciousness. Not so much Krishna consciousness, but spiritual life. Mostly about Vaikuntha. And I was saying that, you know, Radha and Krishna, they are also none different than Sita and Ram. Lakshmi Narayan. Lakshmi Narayan. So that person says, yes, that is our process also. We worship Lakshmi Narayan, and after some time we become Lakshmi Narayan. That is our goal. That was the end of the conversation. I excused myself. I said a few things to somehow make the point that you cannot become Lakshmi Narayan. But this person wasn't interested and gave other arguments. Their arguments were very shallow, but this is their understanding. So you meet a lot of groups. Most groups are like that. They worship the Lord to become the Lord, become one with the Lord, become the Lord, or to somehow worship the Lord to get the benefits that the Lord can give in terms of material things. And this is modern day. So this is quite popular nowadays. Very few people have a conception of God. Just recently I was at the ELM meeting, and we were listening to a class by Shiva Ram Maharaj, and he was making this point. He hasn't met anybody who has a clear conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Everyone, even in any tradition, do not understand or have an understanding that God is actually a person. As much as they can say, they may say God may incarnate as a person, but that person takes on, that spirit takes on a material form when he comes to this material world. So personalism, true personalism, not that personalism that is based on what we say, using the name of God and the form of God to become God or to become powerful or to become materially successful is very rare. Very rare to find anyone who really knows God as a person and worships Him in that way. That's why what Prabhupada gave is quite unique. But it's the essence of the Vedic culture. And it's the essence of transcendental knowledge of the Vedas. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has a transcendental form. He has transcendental qualities. He has transcendental activities. He has many unlimited forms of himself, but he has an original form as Krishna. And everything is eternal and full of knowledge and full of unlimited bliss. This is Krishna. How much is understood? Even within our own society, we may accept it theoretically, but to understand that Krishna is a person, he is a person, a spiritual person, not a material person. So that's a little bit about Raghunath Bhat Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, his life is so full of many, many amazing stories. He's the son of Jagadish and Govardhan Manjumudara. They were servants of King Prachaparudra and Jagannath Puri. They had a very prestigious position. They were landowners and tax collectors. They would collect taxes from the whole provinces and give that money to the government and take their own share. And so, over the years, they had amassed great wealth doing that service, and they were multi-billionaires by today's standard. So, Raghunath Das Goswami was their son. Amazing. The only son. And Raghunath Das Goswami, although he had such a, what we say, prestigious upbringing, everything anyone could ever want materially, and he also had a very beautiful, qualified, and chaste wife as his wife, still, he wasn't interested in any of it. He saw it as simply garbage. When he heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all he wanted to do was to associate with. But when he would go away, his parents would send out guards and capture him and bring him back. They wanted him to be a good materialist. He had no interest. So they employed 11 guards constantly around the clock to watch Raghunath so he wouldn't go. And he was always thinking how to escape. One day, on the pretense of going to see the pujari in his local temple, he escaped. And he took the route through the jungle so the guards could not follow. And finally he came and he met Sarup Damodar Goswami. Sarup Damodar Goswami welcomed Raghunath Das Goswami. When his parents found out he was gone and he had made it all the way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's camp, they sent the guards to come with money to give to Raghunath. Raghunath accepted the money, and what he would do through Sarup Damodar Goswami, he would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take lunch. And he would arrange for the lunches through other devotees, and he would pay for all the bhoga. He would pay for all the bhoga. And Lord Chaitanya was coming regularly to accept the prasadam that was bought by Raghunath Das Goswami. But after a while it stopped. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Sarup Damodar Goswami, "Raghunath, he's not inviting me anymore." "Oh, yes, he doesn't want to accept the money now because he feels like he's being a prostitute by accepting the money given by his parents." So he is good. And Lord Chaitanya said, "That is very good. That is very good." "Well, how is he living?" "Well, he's going in front of the Jagannath Puri temple, and every day he stands there, and when the different persons come, he begs alms. Lord Chaitanya said, oh, that is very nice. He's very nice. So this went on for some time, and Lord Chaitanya inquired again, how is Raghunath doing? Oh, he's not begging alms anymore. He's thinking, I am a prostitute. I am standing here. This person gave me something yesterday. This person didn't give me something. Will he give me something today? Will this person again give me something? So he felt his mind was being disturbed, thinking who will give and who will not give. So he gave up that. So how is he eating? How is he living? Well, he's actually going to the place on the southern part of the Jagannath Puri temple where the cows are. And these are Trilunga cows. There are particular types of cows. And when the Jagannath Prasadam is not given away or sold, is left over, it goes bad, they throw it over the wall down to this little area where the cows stay, and the cows eat it. So when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he said, let us go. So he went with Sarup Damodar Goswami. And what Raghunath Das Goswami was doing was going through what the cows were not eating and picking up the grains, the hard grains of rice, washing it off, and then eating it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, he was amazed. He ran right towards Raghunath Das Goswami, took those grains out of his hand, and started to eat them himself. Amazing. Srup Damodar Goswami stopped. He said, my Lord, this is not fit for you to eat. Don't. This is. Lord Chaitanya responded, this foodstuff of Raghunath Das Goswami is better than any sabjis, any curries, any sweets, anything I have ever tasted. This is so nice. I just want more of it. Well, why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak like that? These were just broken pieces of rice that weren't even cooked, and the cows couldn't eat it because they were too hard. Why was Chaitanya? He was tasting the bhakti. He was tasting the bhakti of Raghunath Das Goswami's bhakti. Therefore, he is known as the epitome of renunciation. He had so much. He gave it all up just to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Raghunath. And sometimes it says that he would go for days forgetting to eat. And once in a while he would drink a little bit of buttermilk. One time somebody brought some buttermilk to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he took it, tasted it, and said, where is this from? Oh, it's from Rasastali. Oh, and then he took it and threw it. Rasastali is the place of Chandravali. Lord Krishna has many, many gopis, and the two prominent gopis are Chandravali and Radharani. And Chandravali is a right-wing gopi, and Radharani is a left-wing gopi. So they have different moods. And so there's a competition to get Krishna's association between the different groups. And Krishna always prefers Radharani. But sometimes he goes to Chandravali. And now Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari. He is, his internal mood is serving Radharani personally. He bathes her, he decorates her. The Manjaris have more association with Radharani than the gopis do. The gopis are like friends, and the Manjaris are like personal assistants. The personal assistants gets more association. And so he's constantly serving and glorifying. You read his prayers too. I forgot the name of that particular scripture. What is that name of that scripture? It's just prayers, Raghunath Das Goswami's prayers to Radharani. Kusmanjali, yeah. Kusamanjali, yeah. That's one of the words. It's about 95 verses, and it just glorifies Radharani. And so he has so much love for Radharani, and he's a personal associate for Radharani. So when he heard that this buttermilk is coming from the competitor of Radharani, in his ecstasy of love for Radharani, he just threw it. We cannot understand that, but we can get a little idea of what love is. So this is Raghunath Das Goswami. And he used to pay his obeisances to the deity 2,000 times a day. He would pay his obeisances to the Vaishnavas 1,000 times a day, every day. It says that his sadhana were like lines in a rock. If you see lines in the rock, you try to erase it, what do you get? The lines stay there. His vows for sadhana were so strong. And every day he would chant 100,000 names of Krishna. Offer 2,000 obeisances to the Lord and 1,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. And he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill every day. So this was Raghunath Das Goswami. He's one of the 6 Goswamis, Sri Rupa Raghunath, Bhatta Raghunath. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago Sri Jiva Gopalago. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the 6 Goswamis. All the books, all the writings that we have are coming from these 6 Goswamis. 6 Goswamis are our philosophical treasure house of transcendental knowledge, especially Krishna's intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. All of Krishna's pastimes. So this is a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami. He had everything. One time his mother said, every time he was running away, the guards would bring him back. His mother said to his father, why don't we just tie him up so he can't get away? His father said, you foolish woman, his wife is more beautiful than an angel, and he has everything material. What will ropes do? Ropes will be useless. So this was Raghunath Das Goswami. He is the epitome of renunciation and devotion. So these are the great souls that are our ancestors in Krishna consciousness. We say, well, we have our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and our great-great-great-grandfathers and our great-great-great-grandparents. But these, from the spiritual point of view, are our actually forefathers. They are related to us on the spiritual platform. And we learn so much from their lives and from their teachings. Okay, any questions about the ghost? Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Thank you.